Hello and welcome to Bar 20 Arms podcast. You can reach us at bar20arms@yahoo.com. You can email us any suggestions for future topics or questions you may want answered on the show. You can also post comments at facebook.com/bar20arms. That's lowercase bar20arms. So today's show, we got a lot of subjects to hit on today, and where do you want to start?
Well, let's start about, let me talk about that AR-10 Sportacle.
Yes, that seems to be a very popular subject.
We bought one a couple weeks ago, and discovered that the factory trigger was terrible, had a lot of creep in it. Well, we done some work on it, and got all that taken care of, and worked up a load. Took a little while to work up a good load. We're using a 168 grain AMAX.
Great bullet.
With we finally settled on H4895 powder, and we're using the.
And that was after testing several other powders.
Oh yeah.
And they either didn't cycle the bolt, or they were the velocities weren't consistent with what it ought to be.
Yeah, there's some other good powders. 3031 worked really well. I feel like that's a very good powder. I had a hard time finding a recipe. Matter of fact, I didn't find a recipe for anything close. But
yeah,
I just started off low, what I thought to be low. And kind of worked my way up. And 3031, IMR 3031, worked pretty good. But we decided to settle on H4895. Works really well. We're about a grain off max. Seems to cycle the gun real well. And it groups a half inch, three quarter, pretty consistent. So that's what we're going to stick with. So, and we bought the Sportacle, which does not have a dust cover or a forward assist.
Right.
To us, it's not a big deal. We're not in a real dusty, dry climate, so not a big deal about a dust cover. And a forward assist, they're handy if you're trying to chamber the gun in a real quiet situation. You can use the forward assist to try to force the case into the chamber. And that's about the only time I've ever used mine.
Yeah,
if
and,
you keep it clean, you're really not going to need the forward assist on any kind of a assisting the cartridge
right
into the chamber.
That's probably
the battery.
That's probably the best point right there. In a civilian setting, you know, you're going to maintain that weapon. You're going to keep it clean, and you're not going to need that forward assist to jam the round up into the chamber because it's dirty, because it's not functioning correctly.
Yeah. And the difference between the Sportacle and the
Oracle
is about $250 to $300. So,
right.
And that's about the only difference that I know of.
Yeah, for that $300, you get a dust cover and a forward assist.
Yeah.
Now, I mean,
it's a little extra added weight to the gun, and yeah, I don't think you need it.
No, absolutely not. And it's not a mil-spec design. The AR-10 design being a 308, that is a commercialized weapon, not a mil-spec, not a military-designed weapon. So having the forward assist on there and dust cover is not a standard to that design. So, you know, if yours doesn't have it, you know, as far as being a Sportacle or any other model that doesn't have it, you know, it's not that you have a substandard weapon by any means.
I've always wanted one, and now that I have one,
he wants something else.
Well, but I love it, absolutely love it. I shot probably a little over 100 rounds through it already.
Oh yeah,
so
that's a good shooter. It's very comfortable to shoot.
Had one jam, but I think it was due to a low powder charge, not cycling the bolt back far enough. So
yeah,
that was that was probably just a low charge. So.
And we seem to, you know, it seems to be a popular subject on our YouTube channel, which is Bar 20 Arms. Go to youtube.com/bar20arms. Check out that sportical video. But it seems to be a pretty popular. We're getting a lot of comments on that rifle, but it's a good shooter. A lot of people consider it to be substandard. It's the
Yeah.
lowest of the stack, but man, this thing shoots. I mean, we shot one group. I don't know that we'll ever duplicate it, but one load, we shot a hole in a whole group at 100 yards.
Yeah, that was very, very good. Hard to believe out of that particular rifle, it's maybe designed to shoot an inch and a
Oh
half.
yeah, absolutely. It was shocking and very satisfying too to
Yeah.
know that, you
The
know.
first groups that we shot, I loaded up two different rounds, and I shot about two, what was it, about 2 1/4, two
Oh
and a
yeah.
half inch.
Yeah.
But that was due to the bad trigger. You could not handle that trigger.
Right.
You just never knew when it was going to go off.
And our group's consistently tightened up after doing the
Oh
trigger
yeah, when
work.
I
I
worked the
mean,
trigger over that same very next day, I shot with the same load about an inch or a little under, and it was raining that day.
oh yeah,
So.
and it's been real consistent after that. But and that trigger job that we speak of, it's not a hard job. It's not a mystery job. You can do it sitting at home watching CSI. It's a real easy process. A little time consuming, because you're working on a pretty dense hard metal, but you could do it with a piece of good sandpaper, emery cloth, and you could easily work it over while sitting around watching TV. So don't think you got to take it to a gunsmith. Don't think you got to pay $300 or $400 for a good trigger, because you can make that a worthy trigger. Oh, there we are. We're on. All right.
A whole
Oh,
lot's
we thought we lost you there.
bad. No, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, I got a cough every once in a while. It's that e-cigarettes making me cough just watching that smoke come.
Oh. All right, I'll put it out.
Okay. I wanted to mention something, too. Part of my job is taking recycled stuff to the recycle center, and I don't want you to think that I believe in all that stuff, saving the world and all that. I'm very skeptical on that stuff.
Yeah, you take your cans down to them, doing the tree hugging thing. You're saving the world. You take your bag of cans down to them.
Well, I sell them.
They happily take them from you. Well, this is what everybody else does. You're smart.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll take them down to the recycle center, throw them in the bin for free. The recycle center takes them down the road and sells
Oh, yeah.
them.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
anyway, continue. I'm
Well,
sorry.
they make money on all that
Yeah.
stuff.
Oh, yeah. Big money.
And
Nothing's free.
heck no,
No.
no. But anyway, it's part of my job, so I have to do it. Grin and bear it and go on. And well, I always go to the magazine dumpster and look in there because I found some good magazines. Well, the other day I found it was a hunting magazine, and I can't remember the name of it, which one it was. Probably shouldn't even mention it, but it was a Field and Stream type or rifle hunter or something like that. So I took my treasure and went back to the shop, and me and my partner, we looked through it, and lo and behold, in there was a article about hunting deer hunting with AR-15s, and I thought,
Yeah.
awesome. I set it aside until I had time to read it. Well, I read the whole article and I was so disappointed. They didn't even mention a 223 in there. They didn't mention what kind of ammo they were using or what kind of bullet, what weight of bullet, or anything. It was pretty much an incomplete article. And I might dig that magazine up and give you the name of it, because if I was
Wow.
writing the article or a report or anything like that, I would at least mention the caliber and the bullet weight. But
Yeah.
the whole article, and I let another friend read it. He said the same thing. He said, "Man, it just didn't help me at all." And he's in the end, and towards the end, some lady was picked out a 300 blackout, and she was going to go deer hunting with that. Well, that's about all they said about it. They didn't say that she got a deer, or didn't get a deer, or shot a deer and wounded it. So I thought, well, That was very disappointing because I've always been intrigued by hunting with an AR-15 with a 223, but I know you just can't go out there and shoot them at 100, 150 yards. You have to plan it out. You have to choose your ammo very good. You can't just go get a box of Tula ammo and expect to shoot a world-class buck. You're not going to do it. So you have to plan it out.
And you have to practice.
You have to practice.
Your shot placement is
Oh,
not
it's
just,
different. Yeah, you're not shooting with a 300 Winchester Magnum. You're going to have to plan it out and think about it.
You're thinking at max an 80-grain bullet.
Oh, yeah,
And it's going to be
max.
going slow at 80 grains out of a 223, so you're going to lose your velocity.
Well, what I would if I was deer hunting with a 223, I love that Sierra one Sierra 63 grain SMP.
Absolutely. It's a good mid-range.
Yeah, it's a soft lead bullet, so at lower velocities, you're going to get some good expansion and a deep wound channel, and it's more of a rounder nose bullet, soft point. That would be my choice. And running about 29 to, mid 29, 2950 velocity, I think you'd have something there.
And then going back to shot placement, but with that round there, that specific bullet, it's a good middle ground. It's not way too heavy that you're gonna lose your velocity, and it's not way too light that the mass itself is not enough to take care of the job. And this kind of goes back into our last episode where we talked about enough gun. You gotta choose smart. And if you're gonna do a 223, which is feasible, you can kill a deer. And in America, there's just an untold number of deer taken with 223. 22 long rifles probably killed more deer in America
Oh,
than any other caliber. So it's capable, but you're not gonna shoot it in the shoulder and expect it to kill over and be done. You're gonna have to shot placement and right bullet, right load, and practice, practice, practice. But you're right, that article is disappointing. And that's kind of what got us into this kind of thing, ballistic testing and stuff like that, because the lack of information.
I promise you this, that if we do, if we do some kind of testing, we're gonna tell you as much information that we know about it. I mean, that article to me, it was like 3 pages, and
Just rambling.
it was
Just,
rambling, and it had no information, no usable information. I think a lot of these gun writers, they don't want to step on toes. They're not going to name something and make another outfit mad at them, so they're not going to do it.
I might
Well,
lose a
we have nothing
paycheck.
to lose. We have nothing to gain. So
Absolutely.
we're going to tell you the way it is. And matter of fact, let's deer hunt this year with a 223 AR.
Absolutely.
Let's film it and let's talk about it. And we'll talk about it before. We'll load the ammo. We'll do some group testing.
Sure.
And
Matter as far as that goes, we could take a couple different style of bullet. We could do that SMP, because we really feel that's going to be the ideal bullet. But we could take that bullet against a heavier bullet and a lighter bullet, and do ballistic gel tests, group tests, do a whole workup on these bullets, see what
Yeah.
we're getting in velocity.
It's going to be out of a carbine, right? 16-inch barrel.
Sure, but that's not a problem. Because we can compare the three in the same gun, so no problem there. But yeah, we can do some ballistic gel tests. That way we can see it and see how
Right.
far it's traveling.
I got a box of 63 grain right over there.
We can do that for sure. And we can, help these help our listeners out and viewers on Bar 20 Arms at YouTube, and give them some
Let's
information on this.
do let's matter of fact, I've got some already loaded up with some 25-20 accurate powder that's shooting upper 29, maybe 3,000 feet per second. Not out of your carbine, but maybe about 27-28 out of your carbine. But let's the next ballistic gel testing, if we can, let's do that.
Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get that down the video channels fairly quickly. We'll get that on there for you to see. And
Because to me, that's if you got a gun that you can varmint hunt, deer hunt, self-defense,
oh, it's ultimate.
one rifle, and cheap to shoot,
And it covers all grounds. You don't have to worry about different ammo and different bullets.
Yeah.
No, that's, I mean, that's exactly the, and and that fits right into the, the, I don't want to get into this area here on our show, but the preppers, they're talking about the world ending. Now, let's face it, there's obviously a future that is not so certain, but in the same respect, if you can use that gun to hunt, defend your family, defend your throne, and then at the same sense, kill your meat, to eat and to maintain a livelihood. I mean, you can't ask for anything better.
No.
And that's kind of the criteria for self-preservation.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
So yeah, I'm excited about doing that because, we'll learn something. We'll see what that little bullet will do.
Sure.
And I know it's made of pretty soft lead.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the provided it mushrooms adequately and
Well, at a lower velocity,
well,
it's going to be.
I'm thinking though that at a lower velocity it'll retain more of its weight
It will.
as opposed to shedding, fragments down the way. So
I bet it will,
I mean that's what you want. If you
yeah.
have a smaller mass that's just breaking apart, that's going to be ineffective. It's going to cause a lot of wounding action, but it's not going to, be as devastating. So maybe at that slower velocity, it'll do more damage.
Well, not me. A bigger wound channel.
Sure.
The velocity a lot of times does the shock, the organs and stuff that you're shooting through does a tremendous damage to
Right.
through the high velocity shock wave.
Right.
And
Absolutely.
but yeah, that'll be good because that'll be some information that a lot of people can use, we can use. So if you're thinking about it, 223, we'll prove that you can do it, or we'll
Absolutely.
prove you can't do it or shouldn't do it.
And here's the thing. We're so confident in this that, I mean, if you're on the fence right now about buying one for this reason, maybe you're not a gun nut like we are, and we just, buy guns pretty much just because we want them, not really. We have plenty of deer guns, so if we buy another deer gun, it's because we want it. We don't have to have it, we want it.
Yeah,
But
because
if you're on the fence and you want one gun to do all your needs, go ahead and go buy it. And we're so confident that we're right on this that we'll prove it. We'll do
yeah.
ballistic gel tests and we'll show you that you didn't choose wrong.
I still say you can shoot a deer with a Glock 22, 40 caliber,
Yeah. Oh.
165.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in a tree stand and the same, if you're shooting 15, 20 yards,
Oh, yeah.
and it's about shot placement. And I still believe I've never done it. If anyone's out there, it has done it before with a 40 Smith and Wesson, shot a
Yes.
white-tailed deer.
Send us your story.
So send the story, because I still believe you can do it. I mean, you're not going to shoot through bones and make a kill, but.
Maybe a
You
rim
know,
shot
if you're in a tree stand and you get one walk underneath you and you shoot him
in the back of the head.
in the neck, in the spine
Yeah.
area, down through
True.
the side of the spine, down through across the heart,
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
he's dead.
It'd be devastating. For
He might
sure.
run a little bit, but it's going to work. And man, you talking about fun. And I
Yeah.
know 10 millimeter. I know people that hunt with a 10
Yeah.
millimeter.
Yeah. That's
That'll
a.
do it. And that's just a little bit more than a 40 Smith and Wesson.
But it's plenty. It's effective.
Yeah, and I've sat in many a deer stand and had them walk right underneath me, 5 yards or less, 10 yards.
Oh, yeah. And your 308 at 5 yards is a little
Yeah.
much.
Well, shoot, yeah. I
Where a
mean,
40 Smith & Wesson would be primo.
oh yeah. Of course, 44 mag, but yeah, that'll do it out to 50 yards, 75. But a 40 Smith and Wesson.
Yeah. Well, like my partner said, if you've done this or you know somebody that has, shoot us an email at bar20arms@yahoo.com. Let us know. Just give us a rundown of the story. Tell us your story, and we'll put it on the air. We'll put it on a, we'll write it down and we'll forward it underneath the show, and we'll talk about it in our next show. That would be very interesting to see, you know, if anybody out there has done this. I'm sure somebody has, like you said. It just seems like such a no-brainer, because there's a lot of situations where you're so close. I mean, I've had them, you know the story, we talked about it before, but came hunting one time with you, and already had my spot picked out, and I walked down there, and I was going down to my spot, pitch black, wasn't using a flashlight. It was a good moon, loom, so I was able to see where I was going, and I knew the property, so I knew where I was going. And started heading down to where I was going to be sitting, and I heard a deer snort. So immediately I sit down, and okay, I was like, all right, they're real close to me, so I just want to sit here real still, wait for the sun to come up and see what's right around me. I may have, you know, that buck right here. I waited, 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 sun comes up, and the whole herd was right there. They were all bedded down, and I walked right in the middle of the herd, and I could reach out and touch three or four different deer. And I was there, you know, they're sitting all around me, and they're looking at me like, "Where'd this guy come from?" You know, so here I
You
am
planted
sitting
that orange pumpkin.
here. Yeah, exactly. So here I am sitting here. Man, if I had a 40 Smith and Wesson, it would have been primo. I mean, a pocket knife at that range. I mean, I was close. So, I mean, that would have been perfect. You know, there's no way I could take any kind of shot at that range, because I would have touched them with the barrel of my rifle. You know, they were so close. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. So, like I said, if you have any stories out there about shooting with a small caliber handgun, 40 Smith and Wesson, there's a lot of people that use the 41 Rem Mag,
Oh yeah.
which is real close to 40 Smith and Wesson, kind of in between 40 and
Well, I know people 357 too.
yeah. So
Years ago.
any of those stories, because I mean, that's interesting. We'd
Yeah.
like to hear about it. So go ahead and email us, bar20arms, yahoo.com. And share your story. We'd like to put it on the air here on our show, and share it with everybody, because it's interesting. It intrigues
Yeah.
us.
You know, that's shot placement, and if you reload, because if you buy factory ammo for a 40 Smith & Wesson, the FBI protocol is what, 2960 or something like that, 2965.
Yeah, something like that.
So you can,
Which a factory load is
oh yeah, and I think
downloaded to
I've looked
the.
it up one time. 180 grain is the optimal velocity versus energy. 180 grain.
Right, yeah.
I've got a couple boxes of 180 XTP.
Oh, yeah.
And with what is that? IMR 800X?
800X, yeah.
Is that right? 800X.
Oh, yeah. That's a good powder for that caliber.
So,
I shot a raccoon with a 180 grain XTP, and it was brutal. I mean, it was just
poor little raccoon.
poor little raccoon.
What was he
Well,
attacking you or
he
something?
was attacking a chicken coop. So he had to
Ah,
go. He was actually in the chicken
that's a
coop.
felony,
Yeah,
you
it's a
know.
felony. Yeah, it gets the death penalty around here.
Yeah, I wouldn't attack a chicken coop.
Yeah, he got a 180 grain XTP about 10 yards away, and
And he went to sleep.
he went to sleep pretty quickly. It was brutal. That XTP is a nasty round. So I'm pretty confident that a good proper shot placement on a deer, and it'll be more than enough.
Man,
So.
I'm ready to go deer hunting
Man,
tomorrow.
let's go
Tonight, yeah.
tonight.
Much.
We live in Alaska, and it's tonight all the time.
Oh,
So,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm ready to go. You got me all talked into it. I might call
Yeah.
in sick tomorrow.
It
Yeah, it's muzzle loading right now,
is
and I
muzzleloading.
haven't even been out there. I haven't
No.
even hunted yet.
Well, I mean, we're still running around t-shirts. I
Yeah, it
mean,
is a little warm. It was 80 degrees today.
it's hard to get in the mood.
Yeah.
It's hard until you hear Santa's jingle bells.
Yeah, and I've got deer meat in the freezer from last year,
Well,
but I
we're.
want to talk a little bit more about that recycle thing.
Oh, yeah.
Couple months ago, I went down to the recycle area, and you know, I got all your dumpsters out there, your magazines, all that junk. Well, I had a bunch of cardboard, so of course I made my way over to the magazine dumpster to look in there and see what kind of magazines were in there. And there was two boxes, and I'm talking big paper boxes, of handgunner.
Oh, nice.
And I dug those out, and I was like, I got real happy. I was like, man, all right.
Yeah,
And then I kind of got sad. I thought, All right, what happened? Did he get divorced or did he just pass away? And then I thought, then what I had in my hand was sad.
Yeah.
Well, who would throw handgun or magazines away? Two cases of them.
No kidding.
And I just thought, wow, I wonder what happened to him. Poor guy. Probably got divorced.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So anyway, we took those back and still looking through those. And some of them go way back to the 70s.
My goodness.
Yeah, they were using the 357 Magnum,
Well, those were the days.
Blackhawks.
Oh.
So that was interesting. You never know. And I'm
Yeah.
sure the city don't want me digging their valuables out of
Oh
there, but
yeah, they make good money on that stuff, you know.
yeah.
But that's good stuff to hang on to, those magazines. There's a lot of information,
Oh yeah.
especially then when they actually done reporting, when there was, you know, when they done a review, they meant it, you know.
Yeah.
Now everybody's scared of losing a paycheck or offending somebody or something like that, but you know, those older reviews, they, boy, they were serious. It was all about
Oh
what that
yeah.
gun was.
If you turned in a review and you made a company, are you told the truth? You know,
Right.
you're not doing it on intentionally to slander, but
Right.
if the gun is not as advertised and you test it and you find out and you let people know about it, and nowadays I'm sure you get a letter from a lawyer
Yeah, probably.
suing you, so they don't write a very deep, detailed report.
Yeah, and something interesting too is in that time period, companies were more interested in making people happy. So I think during that time period, you wrote a review that was negative in some way, you know, hey, this was not to standard, or this was wrong, this is wrong. The company said, whoa, what can we do? What can we do to fix this? And they would, you know, they would fix the product, to make customers want to buy their product. So nowadays, that's not really the case. That seems like a lot of manufacturers' quality is going downhill. I was holding a new one at work the other day, and I was disappointed. I'm not going to mention it, but I was disappointed because this was a legendary firearm, and you know,
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You were holding a what?
a rifle. And do we want to get into it? We want to
You
throw it up?
just said that you were not going to worry about people suing
Okay,
us.
yeah, we ain't got nothing
We're
else.
going to
Okay,
tell them the
so
truth.
this was a Remington 76
Wait a
point.
minute, wait a minute.
What?
You're going to make somebody mad.
Yeah, I'm gonna make somebody mad, but
They
hey,
got that rifle.
our
People out there
first,
got that rifle.
well, hopefully they got an original rifle.
Well, hope it's not our only listener out there. If that's our only listener, we're going to make that one
well,
listener mad.
maybe well next week we'll talk about somebody else. Maybe
Okay.
we'll gain this guy back.
Okay. Well, you
Okay.
talk about my stuff all the time. It's not as good as yours. I don't care about that.
Well, so here was a Remington 7600 auto loader, 30-06. You know, they used to make the 742 auto
Yeah.
loader. Well,
I
then,
had a 30-06 and loved it.
oh, wasn't they awesome? They were
Yeah.
solid made, good
My gosh,
wood,
accurate too for
accurate.
what it was.
But this thing is made in Japan. The new ones, they're called the 7600. The wood looks like it was made out of a piece of pallet. The bluing is just substandard, just horrible. And the gun, you hold it, and it's like holding a plastic gun. It's like holding a toy gun.
Oh, wow.
It's just horrible. But you know, I look at the older 742s and the 30-06, and they're amazing. They are a solid, just a wonderfully engineered piece of machinery. And the new ones are like just a, you know, it feels like you're gonna break it holding it. You know, you squeeze it too hard and it's gonna break in two. And to me, that's just it's disheartening because, you know, I just take firearms pretty serious, and you know,
Yeah.
I love a quality firearm, and that pretty much goes with anything. But it's disappointing to see the quality go downhill, and it just seems to be the accepted. You know, nobody seems to really care. You know, it's just, you know, that's just the way it is. You gotta accept it that way. But
How much was it?
I want to say it was around 700, I think.
700.
Yeah. I'd have to go look again and see, but
They used to be, the 7400s. They were cheap.
yeah, they're about $400, and they were
It was worth the money.
oh
They was
yeah,
good
well worth the
guns.
money. They were great guns. And now they just, I'm telling you, they horrible, horrible. I'm just really disappointed. Matter of fact, as far as Remington goes, I'm real disappointed with almost everything they're
What
making.
caliber was that?
That was a 30-06. Now, their Remington 700's kind of the same way. Their quality's gone way downhill. The bolts are all sloppy. Now, I can speak very highly for one Remington, the Remington R1 1911.
That's because you got one.
Well, well, I trying to be unbiased here, but that seems to be a very quality made 1911, and that
Well, I gotta agree. That gun was
a good
is a
shooter,
good shooter.
good shooter,
Real tight.
best one I've ever owned. You tell you what, you take your Kimber money and just go down
Yeah.
and buy two of those R1s,
I
and
guarantee
you'll
you.
be set. Forget
Yeah.
that Kimber.
Yeah, R1, that's a good quality
It
gun.
is. I can't speak very
Where are they
well.
made?
Well, I don't know. It's not stamped. I'd have to dig that thing out. I want to say it's stamped USA, but I don't quote me on that. I'll have to look at that.
You
See,
have it with you?
I don't have it with me. It's at the house.
Oh.
But I'll look at that and we'll put it in the notes in our
Yeah, because
in.
that'd be interesting.
But yeah, some of the rifles are made here. Some of them are made overseas, and as far as the 1911s, I'm unsure of. I guess I should have looked at that. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but it seems like their quality in rifles have just dropped off, and I'm not sure why. But their pistols seem to be very good quality. And matter of fact, I talked to a Remington rep the other day, and they're fixing to release a couple new pistols. They're gonna offer the Remington R1 in a officer's model, and it should
Whoa.
be releasing in the
Short
next.
barrel, four-inch barrel.
Yes, sir. And it's a good looking gun. He showed me a picture of it. They haven't released to the public yet, but it's kind of leaking information here. But it's
Wow.
gonna be coming out here soon, about 4 months. So that'll be something to look forward to if you're a 1911 fan. Definitely worth the money.
I heard this guy named Romney. You ever heard of him?
yeah, once, twice, yeah.
He said that if he becomes the CEO of the country, he's going to get them companies back. He's going, what are you
Yeah.
thinking? Bring those companies back here.
Right.
Give
Well,
them a tax break or something, make them come back.
I think he's on the right page. We need to get America making proud products
Oh,
again.
yeah.
And
Yeah, you don't. When you see the USA stamp on anything,
yeah,
and anymore, it's getting.
it's getting rare, very
You
rare.
even look at food, anymore.
Oh, it's all
Some of
imported.
our fruits and vegetables come from China. You can believe that. I was looking at in the produce the other day, garlic, and it said it was a product of China. I was like, what?
It just yeah, that blows my mind. And the kind of the frustrating thing is, even more recently, 20 years ago, if things that were made across overseas were a novelty. People said, "Whoa, man, where'd you get to?"
Imports,
Yeah,
yeah.
an import was a
Exotic.
novelty,
Exotic.
exotic, And now it's, if it says USA, it's exotic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's sad because a USA sticker represents USA jobs, revenue that stays in the country, and
Yeah. I recently toured the Buck Knife Factory in Post Falls, Washington, and I was so proud. That's an awesome factory.
and the
So.
people are proud of what they do,
Oh, yeah.
even though
Buy a buck knife or a case.
absolutely.
I don't know about Gerber. Gerber still made here?
I'd have to look that up. Let's look that
Now,
up
that's
right
two
now.
things we got to check on. But I love case knives and I like buck knives. And I
Yeah,
got a bunch of both. And
and I'll bet you. I'll ask you this. I mean, did you see the people that work there? I mean, did you?
Oh,
Okay,
yeah, it was
were they depressed and walking around all sad, and
no.
were they happy, or?
Oh no, they were happy. A buck knife is the Buck Knife Company is a it's an awesome company. They give you a tour of the plant. If you're close to that area, man, I encourage you to go to that to the
See,
Post Falls Washington area. Beautiful country. But go to the tour of the factory. It's awesome.
And that's pretty neat that, I mean, you look at, these people are proud of what they do for their job. They're making pocket knives, but they're proud
Oh
because
yeah.
they, they're proud of
And
something
the
that they.
age range from, I guarantee you, from barely 18 to 88. I saw a lot of older women that worked there that had worked there for 40 some years, 30 some years. But yeah, case knives, the same thing. I love case knives. I have a new one in my pocket right now.
Oh yeah, and I have several myself. I love Case.
And you can buy them at Lowe's, hardware stores, and the price is right.
Oh
So
yeah, they mean to do business. They want a pocket knife in your pocket. They
yeah,
don't want one sticking up on your shelf because
we
it's too glittery to use.
heck yeah, we go to Branson once or twice a year in Branson, Missouri. They have a
Yeah, the
case
Case.
knife cuttery.
Yeah, the store, yeah.
And I love that store. Every time we go, I buy a case knife.
Yes, sir. Every time. 'Cause it's just an awesome store. Every model that they've ever made is there. And they have the glittery stuff. They have the nicer stuff that you want to collect, but then they have the workhorses, the
Hey,
ones
did
that
I
you.
ever show you my new knife? This here is a case. I don't know what it's called. It's got a long blade on it. I'd say that's, how long is that?
Three and a
Where's the
half?
tape measure? Right
Right.
here. Yeah, that's 3-inch blade.
Ah.
And it's got two. It's kind of like a watermelon cutter. But it is a K6 or 6254.
Wow.
And it's carbonized steel and holds an edge. And it's great. So get out there and get you a case knife or a buck knife and put your money down there and you'll feel proud. Keeping somebody in their job.
Absolutely.
It's a good feeling. I
And
don't know how.
the best I can come up with, I'm looking at Gerber right now online. I'm on their website, and the best I can come up with, they are made in the United States. They are
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, and isn't that kind of odd? Everything's out on the Northwest.
Yeah, it is.
There's a lot of companies, American company Leopold's out there.
Oh yeah, Leupold.
Redfield now is out there.
Yeah, well, Spear Company is in Lewiston,
Spears out there.
Washington.
There's a lot of companies out
Yeah,
that region of the
there
world.
is.
So yeah, I so Gerber, yeah, that's another one to support.
Did you mention Redfield?
I did mention Redfield.
Hey, if y'all need a good scope, Redfield's under the control of
Leopold,
Leupold,
yeah.
and I've got two
Oh,
of them
they're good
rifles, and
scopes.
man, I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
They're a lot cheaper than a Leupold, but I feel like you get the same quality,
Yeah.
don't you?
Oh yeah, I agree. They're crystal clear. They're op they're they're help me out here. Their reticles are just top of the class. For the money spent, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better scope, and actually you would expect a less quality with that price range.
And they have target knobs on them too. They're not. They're not
Yeah.
a real high target knob, but they're it, you don't have to have a coin
Right. No, I
to.
agree. They seem to be very good quality. And there was a dip in their production where they were junk, for a while. You didn't want to buy one.
Right,
And
yeah.
then when Leopold bought them, they really turned them around.
But you know, if
So.
you have an old Weaver scope, a USA Weaver scope.
Steel tube.
Yeah, steel
Yeah.
tube or a old Redfield, you can get them repaired.
Oh yeah.
There's a place in Tulsa, and actually he's a state trooper in Tulsa, and he repairs those scopes. And if you've got an old Weaver 6 power or a 4 power, what is it, a K4?
Yeah, K4,
Man, I'm
yep.
telling
Yep.
you got something there. It's only
Yeah.
a 4 power, but it's clear. It'll be equal to an 8 power of a cheaper scope
Absolutely.
or
And
9 power of a cheaper scope.
you can shoot accurately 200, 250 yards with a 4-power
Oh
scope.
yeah.
And there's marksmen that shoot farther than that, with those fixed fours, so
And if you have them rebuilt by someone who knows what they're doing and charged, rebuilt, Man, you got a good scope.
Oh yeah,
Because it's made
absolutely.
in USA, it's fixed, it's a fixed power, so there's no moving parts in there
Absolutely.
to mess up.
So I guess, we kind of got off on a little rant here on our,
What happened?
well, I don't know, we kind of lost. But I think hey, let's summarize this and say, look, let's help America here. So
Oh yeah,
tell,
that's what we're talking about.
yeah, and speak your mind to these manufacturers by buying American-made guns. If you see a gun, you pick it up at a gun store. You say, "Hey, I want to see that one right there, if you would, and they hand it to you. Don't worry about anything else. First of all, look on the barrel and see where it's made. If it doesn't say made in USA, hand it back to them. Say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, and go on to another one. Now, you may want that gun, but you can find that gun. You can find that gun made in America. It may be a used one that before they shipped their manufacturing overseas, but it speaks volumes by sales. If their sales dip in those guns where they're not worth importing, they're not going to want to import them no more. They're going to
Right.
want to make them here. And so, if we all band
What the
together and
heck
do
is
this.
Winchester? Guns should be made in all over the world. Japan.
And that's an American name.
Yeah, what the?
Winchester is like the bases of America.
I know it. Winchester, Remington?
John Wayne with his Winchester
Yeah, made in
rifle.
Japan.
Yeah.
What the? That don't make sense.
No. So, if we all stick together and look at these manufacturers and say, "Look, we're not buying substandard guns anymore. Yeah, it's cheaper, but you know what? I'm gonna save for another month and get the real gun. I don't want that cheapo,
No.
So I think if
Hey, even
everybody,
the Vanguards, they're made in Japan.
yeah, oh yeah, well, that's just a cheap Walmart gun that they put out. There's a lot of Weatherby people out there that they don't care what it is. If it says Weatherby on it, they're gonna buy it. But pay attention, because that's not the same manufacturer that that houses a manufacturing plant for electronics here. And there may be some, I don't know, but I'm talking computers, GPS, phones, stuff like that. Almost all of them are made
I mean,
overseas,
that don't
so
make sense, but
it don't. But so you can't get around some stuff. And we're not saying go live in a cave and only buy USA rocks. That's not what we're saying. But kind of, especially in the gun industry, it's one thing to use a phone that's made out of
yeah, a pocket
overseas.
knife too. There's so many China knives out there.
Yeah, we got them right here. We have options. You can pay $5 more
Has
and get.
anybody ever impressed you with a knife made in China?
Well,
Not me.
I'm probably breaking it and there's
No.
shards of metal going in their arm or something. But
No. Pocket knife people, you pull out a buck or a case or an old timer that was made in USA. Old timers not made in USA now, they're
not
made in
now,
China.
yeah.
But that really impressed me. I like to see those old knives
Sure.
and the new knives that are still made in USA.
Yeah, and when there, it just seems so simple that when there's an option, you would choose what's here before choosing what's, maybe a couple dollars cheaper. But, when you buy something USA, that means somebody's job,
Yeah.
somebody that lives here, your brother, sister, somebody worked to produce that, to gain a paycheck, to buy food for their family. So, and there's nothing wrong with supporting other cultures, okay, blah, blah, blah. But we need to pay attention home first. We're broke. We're borrowing money from China. Why are we buying their junk? Why wouldn't
Right.
we buy our own junk? So, not that our stuff's junk, but you get my point. So,
Yeah,
but.
and I don't know how many old or people that still hunt with lever gun, but that's something I want to get back into too.
Yeah.
Now I'm up to wearing trifocals right now. So on my old 3030 that I bought when I was in high school, I had to put Williams peep sights on it, and that really helped me. Now my old 94 is straight up eject, and I've got an angle. Remember, we put an angle scope mount on
Oh
there,
yeah.
which is, and you had to turn the scope. You had to turn the scope quarter turn, which
Right.
the up and down was the left and right, and It
Yeah, it
was
was
just
really
all messed
awkward.
up. It just didn't work. I had it on there for a couple of years, and I ended up taking it back off because it just didn't. It was so awkward looking, leaning off to the side. So I got those William mounts on there, and with that peep sight, and I messed around with the different. Oh, what do they call that? The optic, the objective. And I had the one I had was too small, and you couldn't see a low light area. You could not see it at all. So I went up, and I don't know what the optic sight is, the objective, what the hole is in that peep sight. But anyway, I'd like to kind of get back into that lever gun hunting, 30-30.
Well, it's plenty of gun. There's no doubt about it. It's especially in our area, being kind of brushy, and a long shot's about 50 yards, 60 yards.
Yeah, and
So,
that's primo. I mean, it's not, it's not too much gun. It's
yeah,
just enough.
absolutely.
And so, maybe we can, we got so much to do and
Yeah,
so
we
little
got.
time to do it.
Yeah, we and we have a long list of videos that we got to get out for our YouTube
Yeah,
channel,
we're gonna
and
have to get to work.
life gets in the way, of course, but we're
Let's do, can we do on that ballistics when we do the 223? Hopefully, maybe we'll do it next Tuesday, maybe.
we should be able to
If
get
we
that
can
up
do
then.
that next Tuesday, if we can throw in that 30-30, and I've got 150 grain round nose Hornady, and I'll max those dudes out with some Varget powder, and we'll do a ballistics gel test on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
At we'll say 30 yards. No, let's
Oh, we can
say,
do like 50.
yeah, let's say 50 yards.
50 is a good number.
And we'll see what kind of expansion we got on that. That's something that people can use. I mean, they'll see
Oh,
what,
absolutely.
yeah.
And with the economy being bad too, and it's harder for some to get a quality deer gun, and so they look into these Japanese guns. A 30-30 is a viable option, and you can pick up a used one pretty cheap, for 200
Heck
probably or
yeah.
less. So, that'd be a good test to show them, hey, this is enough gun. You ain't got to settle on a cheap, cheap rifle. You can buy a quality, older generation 30-30 and be in business,
Yeah,
not have
now.
to spend your entire paycheck to do it.
And you noticed I said 150 grain round nose bullet. Some people might have cringed when I said that in a tubular magazine, but I've shot a couple of hundred in my gun and never had a problem.
Now you're speaking of the accidental discharge of the rounds in the
Right.
tube. Yeah, obviously a pointed round carries more risk. Round nose, it's just not enough pressure. It's a blunt object. Now, and this might be a good way to explain to people here how a primer works, because some people may not understand how a primer works. A primer, you cannot discharge a primer by using a blunt object, say the same diameter as the primer, and hitting it. It will not go off. The inside of a primer actually has a cone or a cone shape. And the primer has to be hit directly in the center, which forces that primer shell, the exterior, to go into that cone, which causes ignition on the primer felt, which causes the ignition to ignite the powder and to carry the bullet down the barrel. So with a round nose bullet, the diameter of the bullet, the nose of the bullet, is large enough that it's not actually touching the center of the primer. It may be resting on the center of the primer, but in no way is it putting enough pressure to put a pinhole in the direct center of that primer. Now, if you were using a sharp, like an AMAX bullet, it might do that because it's a sharp point. It might have enough force.
Well, according to the Hornady reloading manual, 150 grain round nose is acceptable in the 30-30 Winchester.
Absolutely. And that's why they
Oh,
design.
they don't have a load for my for Varga.
Oh.
I'll have to.
Well, we can use something
Now,
else, I'm sure.
the test rifle is a Winchester M94.
Ah,
Told you.
lever action. Well, I'll be. Now, I think they also offer for the scaredy cats. They offer, I mean, the people afraid of accidental
It
ignition, the
ain't going. It
tube.
ain't going to.
Well, I know, but they made a flex tip.
Yeah.
There it is, the FTX, which is a very, very soft polymer tip around
Now,
which.
for some reason, I've talked to a lot of people and they don't like them.
Yeah, they have a low ballistic coefficient. Look at that, 330 on the.
Well, that's actually high for a 'cause look at this 170 grain.
Yeah, it's a 189 coefficient.
Yeah.
Well, I
Now
mean,
let's look
compared
at
to
the
like a.
round nose, 186.
Wow.
I
Okay,
mean,
so that's
it's
really good, actually.
well, that's better than a flat, but
But it's not as good as what we're shooting in our 308s.
No.
And that's kind of what I was going on. I'm used to that higher
Well,
coefficient.
I've never shot an FTX, but I've talked to maybe 50, 60 people,
They don't like them.
and a lot of them don't like them.
Why? What's their complaint?
They're not accurate. And I don't know why.
Well, maybe we should test some.
That's a 160 grain FTX. Now, it does
BLC
have.
BLC2 load or 748 load. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, look at that
Leverution. Look at that
lever revolution.
maxed out 2,300 feet
Now
per
see
second.
if I that's the one I would choose that powder
Yeah, because you can max it out. You can
because
get
it's
max.
2300
Yeah.
max in a 94.
That's pretty good. Maybe we should test a box of those to see.
Yeah, that's exact. That'd be a good idea.
We can do a box of the 150 round nose, which we already have, and then test some of those flex tips and see which is better.
They're saying one of the hottest powders is Winchester
Seven.
748, and I've got lots of
Oh,
that
yeah.
powder.
Yeah, I got plenty too, so that's a good.
748?
Yeah. I've been using 748, testing the 338.
Oh.
Yeah. It's been working really good too. With those
You're thinking 760.
760. Yeah, you're right. 760. Look at this guy. Yeah,
The old
760.
guy still
Okay.
got it.
Okay, 748. What am I using 748 in?
You're not.
I'm not.
I
Okay.
am.
Oh, okay. See, I have
Seven forty's
amnesia.
a great 223 powder.
Okay.
It's a NATO. That's a NATO powder. That's
We make a good team. I don't even remember where I'm at. You...
a.
yeah, okay. Well, yeah, we'll test that flex tip then, and then we'll test it against the round nose and see. And but I was just explaining that the flex tip is the reasoning behind the that bullet is for the people that are scared of a
Well,
pointed bullet.
I'll tell you what, we can take four deer this year
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
with modern gun. You get one with your 223, and I'll get one with my 30-30.
Okay.
And we'll film it. You know,
Absolutely.
we'll film the whole thing. And that'll be really handy because I think there's still a lot of people that might like to hunt with a 30-30 Winchester
Sure.
or a Marlin. 336 Marlin,
Absolutely.
but people have discouraged them. Now your 336 Marlin is a little bit superior than the 94 Winchester. It's got a little longer barrel. That micro groove barrel that Marlin puts out is really
Really,
good.
yeah. And the angled eject.
It's an angle to the side eject.
So you
It's
can
already rigged for tip off
scope.
scope mount.
Yeah.
So it's already advantage, but if you like that John Wayne at 94, which is what I have, I don't have a Marlin 336. But if you got a 94 and you want to hunt with it,
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. And, at that range, like you were saying, peep sights.
oh yeah, if you have 20/20 or close vision and
Yeah, you don't
you
need a
know
scope.
V-notch, no, V-notch sights, they're going to work for you.
Oh,
But when
yeah.
you get a little older and you need, or you have focusing problems or distance problems, because your eyes will, you can see either far out or close in, and that don't work.
Yeah.
So peep sights work really well. That's why the military went to them, because it was just a quick It's a quick way to sight a gun, aim and shoot.
Right. And it's easy on the eyes. It don't cause your eyes to focus in and out
Right.
constantly and make your eyes sore. So it's definitely an advantage. But like you're saying, you don't need a huge scope to, I mean, ballistically that round's not gonna be
No.
a long range gun, so you don't need a scope at all on it. It's not practical in any way.
You might if it might be a 4 point or a small spike or something like that, you might get in trouble with that. You might need some
Yeah,
binoculars,
carry some binoculars, make
pocket little pocket binoculars to see what you're shooting. But but yeah, let's do that. We'll get one with my 30-30 and we'll do one with 223 and
Okay.
I think that'll be very helpful and it'll be good.
Yeah, we can do a whole write-up on both of them,
Yeah.
what we experience with groups, ballistic gel testing, and then ultimately the kill.
Yeah.
And we can kind of write a report on it and have that available to anybody that wants it. And
Hey, look at this. They make H&R or New England Arms. They make a 30-30 single shot rifle,
Yeah.
and I think you can buy them at like Walmart. What are
Yeah,
they?
two something. They're like,
250,
yeah,
270?
high to, yeah, it would be 270, 280. Yeah. I'll bet
Man.
out the door 250.
And they're drilled and tapped for a scope. You can get a scope base. Some of them come with a scope base. Some of them
Yes.
don't for some reason. Some of them do.
I think the partner comes with
Scope base.
a base, I think. Don't quote me on it, but you can go to their website and check that
But
out.
man, you could get a 30-30. And you can get ammo. They're like $12, $13 a box for the ammo.
And the really cool thing, and this is what I tell my customers, is you can buy this initial firearm for whatever caliber you need for that year, say in a 30-06 or a whatever 223 or 30-30, and then use it this year, get your deer meat, and then next year or in the spring, send it in and get an additional barrel. Have it fitted for a
Yeah.
30-06. Now
Wow.
you got two guns.
Yeah.
So every year, and the barrels to have them fitted is only like $100.
I've got it off the internet, but instructions to do a trigger job on them, it was easy.
Oh, yeah.
And you could take a rough, like an 8 pound or 6 pound trigger, and you can go on the internet and get a learn how to do a trigger job, and you can do it yourself. Tells you the tools you need and everything, and you do a trigger job on those babies, get it down to about 2 pounds, you got something.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's a really cool feature of being able to send it in, have an additional caliber fitted to that gun. So practically every year for $100, a little over $100, you can get a whole new gun.
Yeah.
And they're interchangeable, so they go back and forth. And they got calibers ranging from 444 Marlin, 308, 30-06, 708. 243, 223, 22, 250, 45-70, 30-30, even 500 Smith and Wesson. So, I mean, they have just a huge range of calibers.
You know, if you got the, you buy the gun, you buy the rifle first, and you can have it. Let's see, was it the shotgun?
The shotgun and the rifle, yeah.
Yeah, but the shotgun. No, the shotgun is the only one you can have the muzzle loader made in, right? Yeah,
I think
because
so.
that's
We'll check on that.
okay.
But I want to point out right here that there is in fact one model of the H&R. It's a handy rifle, and it comes in any of those calibers named, and it comes with a scope mount rail, hammer extension, and comes factory with a 3x9 by 32 scope mounted. So, I mean, there you
Do
go.
you have a price on that?
They do not give a price. And they also have compact models with
It's
shorter
not,
barrels.
I don't think it's over 300. I think
No,
it's.
I don't think so. And we can actually look that up. While we're here, we're gonna look at this combo.
If I was going to get one, Busted for you, 30-30.
Oh yeah, you cannot beat it.
I mean, 30-30, you know, the good thing about it, you can buy ammo anywhere, just
Sure.
about.
Yeah.
Hardware store, they're not gonna have 7mm OAs.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
708 is getting more popular, but you take a 30-30, 30-06, 308s, you can buy ammo for them just about anywhere.
Yeah, and they. Oh, what's the wrong thing here? Okay, yeah, and that's a big thing is availability. Some calibers, are hard to get ammo for, and when you do find ammo, they're very expensive. So,
Now, I had an H&R and I sent it back to the factory and had a different barrel. I'm trying to think of what it was.
oh, and we forgot too, you can get pistol calibers ranging
Yeah, I
from
think it was a 44 mag.
44 mag. Yeah, it was. We both had one.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right.
Mine, I had a 44 mag. I had a 22 Hornet. And I think it had a shotgun. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It seemed like I had a 410, I think, shotgun with it. And I bought it used, so it already had all these with them.
Wow.
And yours, you actually sent off. You got a 25-06. I remember that.
Oh, that's right.
And
Yeah.
then you had a 44 Magnum. See, I got a memory once in a while.
Yeah. Thanks for coming to me.
But I mean, they have
Yeah, I
amazing.
didn't like that 25-06.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to step on toes.
Yeah, that
But that
didn't.
25-06, a lot of people love it.
It was real picky. A very finicky caliber.
Yeah, a lot of people like it. Antelope hunting and stuff like that. But.
All right, so I'm finding. Let's go this 30-30 here. Well, that's got standard sights. MSRP seems to be showing right at 300 for most of the partner or the handy rifle series. Hand bison extension
You said MSRP.
MSRP, so you're looking at, $280,
Yeah,
$290.
I think Walmart would be.
And then Walmart probably would be quite a
They
bit
have
cheaper.
layaway now, so you can.
If you can suffer through,
Man, you're making me want to go buy one. I don't
well,
need one.
that's a really neat thing. But yeah, I highly recommend those for, they're economic. For guys like us that, don't have a lot of money, it's something that we can run out easily with a paycheck. And, $100 is a lot of money, or, $250, but, you could do it, as opposed to a $600 made in Japan,
Oh,
bolt
yeah.
action rifle that's all sloppy. You can get a quality gun, single shot, all you need. You should only get one shot anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah,
You're
excellent.
going to kill more deer if you know you only have one shot.
Oh
You're going
yeah.
to be more careful
Absolutely.
with your aim. You're not going to be.
So with that gun, you could do varmint, deer, bear.
I got to go.
I mean,
I got to go
you
to
could get
Walmart.
everything. So, well, we need to. I think we put everybody to sleep here.
All right.
We better shut her down. So just remember, we covered a lot of things here, and we'll put some things in the notes. I hope we were informative and had plenty to bug you about. And you can download this show off of iTunes, Bar 20 Arms. Search Bar 20 Arms. You can also contact us at bar20arms@yahoo.com. Send us your requests for topics for future episodes, as well as questions. Send us some questions. And if you have any stories you would like to share, go ahead and send those too, and we'll get those on the next podcast. Come check us out at facebook.com/bar20arms. That is BAR lowercase 20 lowercase arms. Any last words of wisdom before we put them to sleep?
You talking to me?
Yeah, you. He see, he's already asleep.
Let me go get my wife. Let me go get the wife.
Okay. Well.
Words of wisdom. Look both ways before you cross the street. Keep your powder dry. And muzzle loading, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your powder dry.
And don't shoot like my partner.
Don't shoot like my partner. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't do anything illegal or.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, keep it safe. Watch out for the other guy.
Yeah.
For sure. But come back and listen. Remember, you can download us on iTunes or Podomatic.com. That is Podomatic.com and search Bar 20 Arms. Take us on the road for the most annoying ride of your life.
Yeah.
All right. Catch you. Come back and see us. Come back and listen. Check us out also YouTube. I keep for mentioning our YouTube channel. YouTube/ Bar 20 Arms. Thanks for listening. Come back, see us. Well, can't see us, but you can see us if you go to
Close your eyes. I'm sure you can imagine something in your mind. Now,
come.
if you're driving, don't close
Yeah,
your
don't
eyes,
close your
but
eyes if you're driving.
if you can, you know, you can, I'm sure you can conjure up some kind of something in your mind.
Well, all right.
All right, we'll catch you next time.